842-875 to discuss sending your mayor to Magic Albert.
The Trot Talk Podcast, Wednesdays from Sky Sports Radio.
It's time for Pacing Rewind at 10:30 on this Sunday morning. Fred Hastings, good morning to you.
G'day, Simon. How are you doing?
Not too bad. How was the Menangle last night?
It was a good meeting. It always is. And I just think, we talked about it last week, the new handicapping system. I just think we're going to really start to see the benefits of it. We mentioned last week it'll probably take a month, and certainly... that's the case, based on what we've seen so far. Tiger Tara has won the Group 3, is the highest tier, but the racing in the other tiers, Simon, has been outstanding. I think the first race was a nose margin. We had a half head or a head by a head after that, and some real tight margins throughout the night. But look, it was a good way to end what was a pretty busy week, and plenty of multiple wins for a lot of our participants with Dubbo last Sunday. Nathan Turnbull drove a double. Leighton, Blake Jones dominated the card there. He picked up four wins. At Menangle on the Monday, Kerry Ann Turner trained a double, and Gavin and Paul Fitzpatrick combined for a double. Todd McCarthy, juggernaut, rolled on Tuesday. He picked up a driving double. David Hewitt and John O'Shea drove doubles on Wednesday at Bathurst. Kev Pizzuto started off a nice little run there. He trained three winners, and Todd McCarthy drove another three. Then we had Nick Formosa training and driving a double at Tamworth on Friday. Cameron Hart a treble at Young. Matt Rue drove a double. And the Hillier Barn with a little four. They picked up half the program there at that program at Young with four wins. And then last night, Mickey Musker drove and trained a double in the early part of the program at Newcastle. Nathan Zherub and Brad Elder, they drove doubles. And you guessed it, Menangle last night, it was Todd McCarthy. He was able to drive three winners, and one of them was the Group 3, as I mentioned, with Tiger Tara.
But Toddy Mac says, let's go. And the Tiger roars away from them. Puts up three lengths on Lombo Kota Kinabalu. And then came All Black Stride, Aldermadard. And further back is Better Bet Black. And the others are being headed by Cold Major. But it's Tiger Tara coming down to the 200 metres. About three in front. Lombo Kota Kinabalu is sticking on. And then came All Black Stride, Cold Major. And Match Point is winding up from a long, long way back. But it's Tiger Tara, 75 to go. Still three in front. And Tiger Tara goes home to score. Tiger Tara beats second Cold Major, third out wide Match Point.
It's Christmas in July for me, Freddie. Means leg ham for tea at the RSL, but last night it was Tiger Tara scoring the Group 3.
You're a lucky man. Good to see you in a good paddock, Simon. nothing like a bit of ham in July. Yeah, look, Tiger Tara continues to roll on. Of course, next week it sets up a juicy clash at Albion Park with the Blacks of Fake. What a race that promises to be. And just on the Queensland Carnival last night, we saw Hector JJ beat My Field Marshall, and Lenny the Shark stuck on for third. Mac Doro was close up. So all those big players that we've seen running around in the features in Sydney over the last couple of months are going to all descend upon Albion Park, inclusive of Tiger Tara, who, you know, with the right draw, it's certainly a horse that it's not to be written off, Tiger Tara. It stayed home, picked up a nice Group 3 last night and some good prize money for connections, but obviously Kev Pizzuto is pretty keen to get up there and take on the good horses in the Blacks of Hague.
The other race last night, one of the other features was the Trotters, Freddie, which followed Tiger Tara's win.
Yeah, look, it was a good-sized field from the stand. There was 13 to run, and probably I would suggest the drive of the night here was Blake Fitzpatrick. He partnered a horse called Iona Grinner for trainer Troy Williams.
But the leader, Michael Thomas, coming for home. Our Dainty Ladies are head away second. Maybe to the Max Trots to third. Comes up three deep. Iona Grinner away from the pegs. Comes up four wide. And they were followed back in behind those by Sunset Tour. And that group of horses get right away from the rest. 29-1 the quarter. The leader narrowly, Michael Thomas. Our Dainty Ladies giving chase. Maybe to the Max was chiming in. Out wider on the course then is Iona Grinner, followed by Sunset Tour. But Maybe to the Max hits the lead. Iona Grinner's giving chase. Visualizers winding up from a minute back, and also getting home out wide was Romper's Monarchy. Iona Grinner hits the lead. Iona Grinner starts to pull away, and Iona Grinner beats Maybe to the Max, Visualize, and Romper's Monarchy behind those out.
So Iona Grinner winning a race eight at Tabcorp Park, Menangle last night, and trainer Troy Williams is online. Troy, good morning and congratulations.
Yeah, thanks very much, Simon. G'day, Fred.
G'day, Troy. Yeah, look, it was, I thought, a gem of a driver, nearly the driver of the night. She was buried away on the pegs. He had a lot of traffic around him, Blake, coming down the side of the track, but when a few just started to yield, he was able to get her away. And once she found the open spaces, she's got a dynamic record at Menangle. I think that was her 12th win there.
Yeah, look, she's, you know, loves the Menangle track, and, yeah, Blake drove her an absolute treat. A little bit worried down the back when she got caught up in that traffic, but, you know, pulled away from the pegs on the corner at the 300 or 400-metre mark, and, you know, she come wide, and she hit the line extremely well last week, and definitely backed that up and hit the line well this week.
She's been a good mare for you, Troy. She's five now, but she's picked up $112,000 in money. She's had 13 wins and 17 minors, and probably fair to say her biggest and therefore your biggest win was going back 12 months ago when she won the Group 2 at Menangle, the 4 and 5 year old Trotters Breeders' Challenge race.
Yeah, definitely. That was a, you know, a huge highlight for us. And unfortunately, she made a bit of an error this year and still ran a nice race considering how fast she got back at the start after making a mistake. But, you know, last night was, you know, her first Metropolitan win and, you know, a great win. But, you know, nothing takes it away from the Group 2, you know, 12 months ago.
Yeah, nice to get a Metro win under your belt as well as a trainer.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's a good achievement. But, you know, the horse deserves it. She's, as you said, she's been thereabouts, you know, quite a number of times and picked up a lot of wins on that Menangle circuit. And for her to get the Metro win was, you know, a pretty proud moment.
And she's pretty adaptable too, Troy. She's pretty good, whether it's stand or mobile. It doesn't seem to faze her. Some of the trotters, they excel from the stand and can be a bit iffy from the mobile and vice versa. But she's been pretty solid in the way she gets away in her races, and that sort of sets her up to find a good position and be in the mix.
Yeah, definitely. Look, you know, she's good away from a stand. And she's pretty handy from a mobile. She's got speed at the end, and she's pretty tough as well. So she is versatile. We've had a little bit of a rough trot the last sort of 6 months with her, just trying to get her right. She's, you know, had a few mistakes here and there, but, you know, hopefully we're on the right path now and we've got her back to her best.
Besides delivering a Group 2 last year and your first Metro win as a trainer last night, she was pretty special to you back on the 23rd of May when you were able to drive her to victory at Menangle at a midweek program. And what some people may not know is that was your second win as a driver, but your first was 10 years prior.
Yeah, probably longer, about 18 years,
wow.
Fred. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, I went out of the game for 15 years when I moved to Queensland, and since coming back to Sydney, you know, getting back involved and, you know, training the horses down here in Sydney, it's been, it was pretty special. You know, she's been a great horse and my first ever horse as a trainer and an owner for that matter. You know, she's done a great job, and to drive her to victory, you know, after all those years was you know, a pretty special day.
Do you remember your first one? Where was it and what was its name?
Yeah, look, I do. It was Dubbo. It was a horse called Artie's Boy for Ron Weigold. So, you know, took off with a lap to go three wide and drove it, you know, pretty mad, but it got the cash and, you know, it was pretty special.
They dubbed Howard James the driver of the century by the sounds of that. That could have been the driver of the century. You drove pretty mad. Good stuff. Now, how many have you got in work? How many horses in work at the moment?
I've got four in work, so I've got three trotters there, and I've got a three-leg pacer, actually, who's off to Newcastle on Monday, who, you know, is quite a handy horse when he wants to put it together. He's just a bit sort of green and juvenile as a three-year-old at the moment, but, you know, we're working him out slowly, and I think he's definitely looking, you know, knocking on the door in the next sort of few starts.
His name, Longshanks?
It is, yep.
Yeah, now you've got, you said, three trotters and a pacer. Is there a preference... and this isn't it's not a loaded question by any means, knowing that you're the vice president of the New South Wales Trotters Association, but do you have a preference, or it doesn't really matter, you just enjoy working with the horse themselves?
Yeah, look, definitely enjoy working with the horses, but look, I love the trotter. They're a different ball game. They're you know, a lot different in the mouth and the way you handle the horse and the way you train the horse. It's, you know, generally over a longer distance and sort of, you know, not as hard. But, you know, the trotters sort of, I think in New South Wales, especially with the prize money allocations that go out and obviously, you know, your chance to earn a little bit more cash as a trainer and also as an owner. That's one of the biggest benefits, you know, here in New South Wales. So that's why I sort of stick to the trotters and, you know, I like a challenge, and some of them can definitely be that.
Certainly can. Now, you've just touched on the resurgence, and I'll use the term resurgence of the trotting gait, particularly in New South Wales. It was always fairly strong in Victoria, particularly through the 80s, 90s and the noughties, but probably in the last probably 8-9 years, but in particular 5 since we've seen the move to Menangle, that the trotters have really come into their own. And I sometimes wonder, Troy, that the big track at Menangle, that's played a big part in the trotters being so successful?
It definitely has, Fred. I think, you know, those horses or trotters that typically, you know, would do things wrong on a half-mile track, they'd, you know, get a bit loose-gated around the corners. Look, the big track, the big corners, long straights here at Menangle definitely, you know, support those trotters that have a few issues. There's still absolutely a place for trotters on half-mile tracks, and, you know, over the next sort of couple of years as an association, we'd love to grow trotters races in those sort of country and provincial tracks for sure. So there's still an opportunity there. But, you know, Menangle is a state-of-the-art facility and it definitely suits that trotter.
Putting your hat on as the vice president of the I'll say newly formed Trotters Association, the New South Wales Trotters Association. I think it came into being around about nearly 12 months ago now. But you've done a lot of good work in promoting the trotter, and that's been one of the missions for the organisation, is to get more people involved. And we've seen some of the high profile trainers switch their training across to maybe having more trotters. Blake Fitzpatrick immediately comes into mind. Jared Alchin's had his fair share of the trotters, and so has David Thorne along the way. So a lot of the high-profile trainers have indeed bolstered their stable with trotters.
Yeah, definitely they have. And, you know, take nothing away, there's still a lot of hobbyist trainers out there, and we definitely want to keep those guys involved. They, you know, they're a big supporter of the trotter, which is fabulous, and an opportunity for them to earn and keep the battler in the game and earn a check.
And that's what we need, Troy. We definitely need that, 100%.
Absolutely. So they're the sort of target market for us that we don't want to lose out of our industry.
Mm-hmm.
Keep them going, you know, keep a check coming in every now and again to keep them, you know, involved in the sport. But, you know, the professionals definitely jumping on board, which is great. And why wouldn't you, when you've got such a great facility at Menangle with the new training complex, to have a trotter and, you know, have a wider spread across multiple categories in racing. So for sure.
Absolutely. Now, I'm going to hit you with this. You're in charge for a day. You've got total carte blanche, whatever you want to do. What is on the wish list for Troy Williams in terms of the Trotters Association? What would you like to see happen one day down track in the world of the square trotter?
Look, ultimately, and, you know, I'll put all of the committee's hat on here, Fred. Look, we think we can get to a third of the racing population here in New South Wales. We'd love to see racing in the country as well for the trotter, definitely. And at least have, you know, a trotter's race on every program across New South Wales within reason, you know, every week. So that would be our aim. And definitely to bring people that have exited this particular sport over the last sort of 5 to 10 years, try and get them back into the game, whether that's through a trotter or a pacer. You know, ultimately, we're supporting the trotter, but if we can get them back into a pacer through marketing campaigns, which you would have seen recently on our marketing video that we've launched, and I know In the Gig, speaking to Greg Hayes the other night, look to launch that in the next 3 or 4 weeks on In the Gig, so that'll be great to get people back into the game and owners and, you know, show that it's a great industry to be part of.
Well, I think with organisations like yours working in tandem with the principal club and, of course, the governing body, I think the state of the trotter's in good hands. So keep it up, Troy. Congratulations on your win last night. She's been a bonny mare for you and no doubt has plenty more wins in store. Thanks for giving us some time this morning.
Yeah, thanks very much, Fred, and thanks, Simon.
There he is, Simon. Troy Williams. He's got a small team, but he's had plenty of success, and he's taken that little man out of in excess of $112,000 in stakes earnings, and hats off to him. And the organisation, the Trotters Association, they really are a go-getter group of people who are very passionate about the trotter, and I think that's going to bear fruit in coming seasons, no doubt about that.
Talking about trotters, Freddie, Gavin Lang brought up 6,000 wins last night.
Yeah, what about that? Tell Me Tales brought up his 6,000th. Bit of a fairy tale, really. I mean, he's been hovering around the 5,990s for a little while, a few weeks, but to do it in a Group 1, no doubt, would have been a massive moment for Gavin Lang. He truly is one of the masters of the craft. And I heard him interviewed post-race. I think Jason Bonington caught up with him post-race on Sky, and he said to him, you know, how does it feel? He said, well, winning any race is good, but sometimes there are some wins that are a little bit more special than others, and that one certainly fell into that category. So well done to Gavin Lang. He's been an ornament in the industry and did a good job. Chris Alford had a couple of Group 1s as well last night. He drove multiple Group 1s. Chris, of course, landed 6,000 winners a month ago. But, look, it was a big night. It's been a big couple of nights there at Melton, some great racing on show. And as I said, the attention kind of will focus a little on Queensland, particularly next week with all those top-notch horses going around in the Blacks of Fake.
How did Queensland go last night? Lenny the Shark was racing, wasn't he?
Yeah, we saw Hector JJ outpaced Lenny the Shark into the first turn. Lenny sat in behind, and then a mid-race move saw My Field Marshal, who, of course, conquered both in the Len Smith Mile only 2 weeks ago. My Field Marshal worked around the outside. They were going very, very slow fractions in the early stages, and it became a real dash home. And that kind of didn't suit Lenny. He looked a bit flat on the home turn. He seemed to want to hang a little bit as they came for home. And then it was pretty much a two-horse battle with Hector JJ outspreading My Field Marshal. They came up the straight in about 25.7. They were low-flying, but the quarters were very, very moderate early. And again, listening in on Sky, Brittany Graham said that sometimes, you know, you can get a 54 half, you know, sometimes in a CO on a Tuesday, they fly early. But in a feature race with the top guns going around, they just didn't go early, hard early, and it became a dash home. And didn't suit Lenny, but next week it's a totally different ball game with the Blacks of Fake. It's, I think, 2680 metres. It'll certainly be a staying test, and tactics again will come into play with regards, you know, where the draw is, who draws where they come out of the gate, and then, of course, any mid-race moves. It becomes a real tactical race, and, look, I'm really looking forward to the Blacks of Fake.
And Party On, I see, went down in the Queensland Oaks last night.
Yeah, it did. Did indeed. It was it made a mid-race move and sat outside Luke's horse, and she was able to kick on and score. Luke had a good night up there at Albion Park, of course, and we saw... and its name just escapes me. You wouldn't want to believe it. The winner of the Derby race up there for the All Stars was very good as well. But look, it was good racing. It was good racing across the Superhood last night. We were very lucky. You know, we had that magic night at Melton, big races at Albion Park, and then of course we had our races at Menangle, which saw close racing, saw Tiger Tara win, and it's certainly been a big week in harness racing, only getting bigger.
Any more news before we wrap it up, Brett?
Look, as far as news goes, that's pretty much all I've got. Todd McCarthy, I mentioned last week when we had him on, Simon, he was zeroing in on the 100 winners. I think he started the week on 88, and he's now sitting at about 96. So he's going to get 100 wins for sure. Kevin Pizzuto is also zeroing in on triple figures. Parks are racing today. They've got a 9-race card. Newcastle tomorrow. Troy said that his pacer might run a nice race, so keep an eye on that tomorrow. Longshanks. Menangle race on Tuesday with 9. Wagga in the evening with 8. And then we've got Bathurst. Now, Bathurst Noms, normally the fields are out for Bathurst, but they extended Noms until tomorrow morning. So bear that in mind, trainers. But Bathurst racing Wednesday, Penrith Thursday. Friday, it's Young and Bankstown with the start of their some of their Friday nights. They were granted additional race nights on Friday night, so I'll be covering the Bankstown card next Friday, and then Saturday, Newcastle. And on Saturday night at Menangle, Simon, we've got four Group 2 Breeders' Challenge Blue races. They're for the next tier of horses for the Breeders' Challenge series. And there'll be four Group 2s run next Saturday night.
Thanks very much for your time, Freddie. Enjoy the week ahead, and we'll chat again next Sunday.
Always good to talk to you, Simon. Take care.
Fred Hastings there. It's 11 minutes to 11.
The stars shine daily in greyhound racing. And you get the latest here on Sky Sports Radio. Your racing and sports leader.
Time to take a look at greyhound racing now with Chasing Rewind. Stuart Turner from Greyhound Racing New South Wales. Good morning.
Morning, Simon. How you go today?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Wentworth Park last night. I was wondering whether our caller might get through the car, poor old Timmy Newbold, but he managed to soldier on.
Yeah, that's right. I know he's been a little bit under the weather this week, Timmy, but a great effort by him nonetheless. And look, there was some terrific action on the track to at least warm his spirits as well last night at Wentworth Park, including a victory for a greyhound who's really coming into some fine form now, Simon, Kong. Now, we thought this greyhound might be a possible superstar when he won four of his first five starts last year. He hasn't quite broken through to the top ranks just yet, but look, he won last night over the 520 metres, breaking 30 seconds as well. That's now three wins from his last four starts, 12 from 22 overall. Kong really developing into a fine talent for his trainer, Cheryl Murray.
Well, have a listen to Tim Newbold's call now of Kong winning last night.
Racing, Kong began fairly, Yankees Ethics away fairly as well, but now Kong, oh, he hit the accelerator. And he put a five through the first corner over Comatose going to second, and they'll follow by Stench of Power, a break to Red Four. Further back came Enrage, Power to Rush, Yankees Ethics back at the rear. Look at Kong go. He is right on the lure, led by six over Comatose. They'll follow by Enrage, but it's all Kong. Kong bolted in.
So that's Kong winning last night there for Cheryl Murray, Stewie.
Yeah, that's right. And as I said, Kong just coming into his own now, and this greyhound definitely one to keep an eye on, especially with the New South Wales Sprint Championship fast coming up on the horizon. There was also a good win at Wentworth Park last night for Techno, trained by Dean Swain, another greyhound who's starting to find his best form. He beat a really strong field over the 520 metres. And look, another greyhound to really keep a close eye on now, Simon. Down at Bulleye last night, we saw Rockstar Strata scoring another sizzling win. She looks a really super talent, this greyhound, for Sean Evans. She's a daughter of my bro, Fabio. She's won two of her first three starts in absolutely cracking time. Keep an eye on Rockstar Stratus as a possible star of the future.
We had the Group 1 Winter Cup at Albion Park on Thursday night. Stewie, Bubble Guppy, runner-up to Fast Times.
Yeah, that's right. Bubble Guppy, our pick on the show last week, couldn't quite get the job done despite a valiant effort there, but that was a wonderful race at Albion Park. It was a really close affair in those closing stages, but Fast Times got the job done. Another Winter Cup for Tony Brett. What a record he's got in this race now. I think he's won, I think it's five of the last seven. And look, Tony, obviously one of the most respected trainers around. Great to see him getting another win. Fast Times now likely to head down to Victoria for the heats of the Group 1 Hudson Pacific Maturity Classic coming up this Saturday at the Meadows. And look, the way Fast Times is going at the moment, definitely one to keep an eye on in that series.
We do have a replay now of the Garrard's Winter Cup final from Albion Park.
Racing, Talia's Way began brilliantly, tackle and headed by Fast Times, who goes to the lead from Bubble Guppy, and Ando's Mac is down the outside, followed there by Nangar Rock, and then came Shoes to Fill. Well back, Cosmic Bonus, outside pass, and Talia's Way went back to the last position. It is Fast Times in front, Bubble Guppy only a length away. A couple of lengths away came Ando's Mac, and there followed by Nangar Rock around the turn. Fast Times and Bubble Guppy, Fast Times kicking, Fast Times for the big race trainer, T. Brett. Fast Times has beaten Bubble Guppy, Ando's Mac, Talia's
Way. It was a good tip though, Bubble Guppy, at about $15 there, running second. Good each way, aren't?
Yeah, I think if it got up, I'd have been dining out on that one for ages, Simon. You wouldn't have been able to shut me up for a while. But look, a really unlucky effort. I thought he was going to get it at that first, last corner. He came up on Fast Time's shoulder, and I was shouting at the screen, "Come on, Bubble Guppy!" But look, he couldn't quite get the job done. But still, a great run by him. But a wonderful effort by Fast Time, and this greyhound, as I said, one to keep an eye on in the Group 1 Hudson Maturity Heat at the Meadows this coming Saturday night.
So that was the Winter Cup final in the Queensland on Thursday. Friday night, we had the Bendigo Cup final on in Victoria.
We did an amazing story, this one as well, Simon. Landmark winning the Group 2 Bendigo Cup. Now, he was originally a second reserve for the final after finishing second in last week's heat. He got a run from box one after both Aussie Infrared and Black Mumbo scratched before the race. He was still only a $23 outsider for the final, which had an incredibly tough field, but he won brilliantly. A great win for Landmark, and wow, I guess it just shows you never quite know what's going to happen in greyhound racing.
Here's a replay of the Bendigo Cup.
racing now, and so to begin with Sandmark, and away very fast there. Jezalenko showing good speed, coming across as Kuta Mayum and driving up on the inside Aston Bolero. They're pretty tight into that first corner, getting right up on the inside as Sandmark zoomed up to go up and take the lead now. In behind them, Striker Light followed by Aston DB, and then Kane Tigalong Cruz in the straight though. Sandmark the leader at Boulder's odds. Sandmark skipped away, wins the cup brilliantly. Second spot to Aston Bolero, Aston DB third.
The one at $16 that did win a feature race, Sandmark over Aston Bolero. Now, what do you think Rob Britton will do with the Bendigo Cup winners, Jim?
Well, I believe he's going to have a crack at the Shepparton Cup, which comes up in a couple of weeks, later in July. Sandmark building a great career record, and look, absolutely fantastic to see him get the win. Obviously, Robbie Britton, no stranger to these wins in the big races. Another win for him there, and I know Sandmark connections were absolutely delighted with that, and rightly so. A great win by that greyhound. And look, Aston Bolero, last year's champion, running a great race in second. And Aston DB, our pick for that race, finishing third. But look, you've got to tip your hat to Sandmark. That was a fantastic win in the Bendigo Cup.
Big week in Grafton, Stewie, this Wednesday night. So we've got the finals on at the Greyhounds right after Ramorny Day.
Yeah, that's right. Really looking forward to Wednesday night up at Grafton, Simon, for the conclusion, or rather the big night of the Grafton Winter Carnival. We've got a stack of finals there. Now, the big race in this one is the maiden final over the 407 metres. Fastest qualifier was Bo Calm there with a nice run in the heat. He's got box 8 in the final. But I'm going to stick with the greyhound we tipped on last week's show, Shevchenko, who won his heats last week. He's a really well-bred son of Fernando Bale, the great Fernando Bale, of course. Shevchenko's got box 2 in the final. I'm going to stick with him. I was really impressed with his running the heats, and I think he can win this one. The Maiden Classic, part of a great night of racing at Grafton on Wednesday night. And as I said, I can't wait for this one, Simon.
We don't have the fixed odds out just yet, but Thursday night, the Group 2 McKenna Memorial will be held at Sandown.
Yeah, look, it's going to be very hard to look beyond Fanta Bale in this one. The brilliant Fanta Bale, who's going to be going for her 7th group race victory in this one. Absolutely incredible. Remember, $40,000 to the winner here. If Fanta Bale gets this, she's going to take another step towards the magical $1 million mark. She's already won a tick more than $800,000. Look, it's still a top racing prospect. You've got Shimmer Song, a Group 1 winner who's got box 1. Dundee Osprey, a multiple group race winner, of course. He's got box 7. And Bella Shimmer in box 4, who absolutely flew round last week. Her trainer, Brooke Ennis, having a great time of things at the moment. But look, Simon, you've got to say, Fanta Bale in box 3, the top pick for the McKenna Memorial on Thursday.
Rightio, Stu. What else is happening around the state over the next week?
Yeah, we've got another great week in prospect. We've got the Twilight meeting down at Canberra later today. Then tomorrow, it's now at Bathurst and Grafton as well. Tuesday, it's back to Canberra and also Casino and Gosford. Wednesday, it's that big night at Grafton that we mentioned, and we've also got Richmond and Wentworth Park racing as well. Thursday night, it's Casino, Maitland and Dapto. Friday, they jump at the Gardens, Grafton again, Richmond and Dubbo. And then Saturday, it's back to the Gardens, Richmond and Wentworth Park again. So loads to look forward to, as ever. And, of course, for your Fields Form and Expert pick, check out thedogs.com.au.
Good on you, Stewie. Thanks very much for your help. We'll chat again next Sunday.
See you later, mate. You have a great week.
So Stuart Turner there. Don't forget the podcast on Wednesday, Talking Greyhounds and the Trots Talk podcast, with Amanda Rando and Stuart Turner. They are up and running at skysportsradio.com.au every Wednesday afternoon. We'll take a break. It's coming up to 1 minute to 11. On the other side of 11 o'clock, Kello Rourke with a couple of best bets for Canberra Greys. Peter Staples will find us some winners for Hobart. Early start there. They're first at 10 past 11. And John Scorse with the full preview for Wagga Wagga.
Winter is here. There's no better way to shake off the winter blues than by celebrating Christmas in July at Rose Hill Gardens. Warm yourself up with a traditional festive lunch while enjoying spectacular views of the home straight. Catch all the racing action, including the listed $150,000 winter stakes. Celebrate Christmas in July at Rose Hill Gardens. Hospitality packages start at only $99. Book your place today at www.theatc.com.au.
For the best price and range on a new Mazda, go and see the man.
Penrith Mazda with 300 new cars in stock over 5 acres. Penrith Mazda VT50 Youth Centre with 50 youths on display. Let us package you a great deal. Grab a coffee and a bite to eat in our Cafe Zoom while your car is serviced. See the Mazda expert today. Penrith Mazda, 2016 Mazda Master Dealer, family owned and operated, Mulgoa Road, Penrith, MD18808.
If you downloaded radio app, you'd never miss a beat. Get breaking news that's rocked the world or gossip from the street. 250 Aussie stations gathered on your phone. Hear all your faves in one place. Now that's a milestone. If you download